Since David's day, the sun and other stars have lost their special status. We understand that they are spheres of glowing gas, held together by gravitation and supported against collapse by pressure that is maintained by the heat rising up from thermonuclear reactions in the stars' cores. The stars tell us nothing more or less about the glory of God than do the stones on the ground around us. If there were anything we could discover in nature that would give us some special insight into the handiwork of God, it would have to be the final laws of nature. Knowing these laws, we would have in our possession the book of rules that governs stars and stones and everything else. So it is natural that Stephen Hawking should refer to the laws of nature as the mind of God. Another physicist, Charles Meissner, used similar language in comparing the perspectives of physics and chemistry. The organic chemist, in answer to the question, why are there 92 elements and when were they produced, may say, the man in the next office knows that. But the physicist, being asked why is the universe built to follow certain physical laws and not others, may well reply, God knows. Einstein remarked once to his assistant Ernst Strauss that, what really interests me is whether God had any choice in the creation of the world. On another occasion, he described the aim of the enterprises of physics as not only to know how nature is and how her transactions are carried through, but also to reach as far as possible the utopian and seemingly arrogant aim of knowing why nature is thus and not otherwise. Thereby one experiences, so to speak, that God himself could not have arranged these connections in any other way than that which factually exists. This is the Promethean element of the scientific experience. Here has always been for me the particular magic of scientific effort. Einstein's religion was so vague that I suspect that he meant this metaphorically, as suggested by his so to speak. It is doubtless because physics is so fundamental that this metaphor is natural to physicists. The theologian Paul Tillich once observed that among scientists only physicists seem capable of using the word God without embarrassment. Whatever one's religion or lack of it, it is an irresistible metaphor to speak of the final laws of nature in terms of the mind of God. I encountered this connection once in an odd place, in the Rayburn House office building in Washington. When I testified there in 1987 in favor of the Superconducting Supercollider, SSC, project before the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, I described how in our study of elementary particles, we are discovering laws that are becoming increasingly coherent and universal